Chat with a Cat. It's brought to you by Carl's Jr. with two Chico locations, the corner of East Avenue and the Esplanade, and on 20th Street next to the Chico Marketplace. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday. It is part two of our interview with Chico State Athletic Director Anita Barker, as she is leading the Chico State Athletic Department through this tumultuous time, this unique situation, which is the COVID-19 pandemic. And we talked a few weeks ago, Anita, about how the athletic department is forging their way through this. I think a lot of people are saying, boy, Anita has been in charge of the athletic department for more than two decades, and there have been a lot of championships, and there has been a lot of success for this Chico State athletic department and this Chico State program. And I think I remember off the top of my head thinking, how did Anita get to the, how did she start? What was her first foray into this? Explain to me, because I believe you were the assistant athletic director to Don Beatty.
Yes, that's right, Mike. Yep. So I started at Chico State in 1990 as an assistant athletic trainer. We came here from Tucson, Arizona, from the University of Arizona. My husband Scott was hired as the head athletic trainer, and there was a job for me too as an athletic trainer, and so they hired me. And then you'll remember, Mike, the early 90s was a rough time. We went through a pretty serious couple of years of budget cuts at Chico State, and lo and behold, it's spring of 1995, and Don Beatty, our then soccer coach, legendary soccer coach at Chico State, was asked to step into the role of being the athletic director. And they looked around the hallway and they needed someone to be assistant athletic director. And they tapped me on the shoulder and asked me if I would like to be the assistant AD. At that time, our vice president was Paul Moore and our associate vice president was Jim Moon. And, you know, it was one of those opportunities where you say to yourself, this might be an interesting challenge. And if I say no, will they ever ask again? And so I said yes. And that launched my career into athletic administration way in 1995 with a shoulder tap. That's how it started.
Was it something that you envisioned for yourself? I mean, I'm not going to say growing up, you said there's a, you know, I want to be an assistant athletic director. But did you think about being an athletic director, or was this something just completely not on your dream board?
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. And in prep for today, I've been thinking about that. And I would say no. I mean, it was never really on my radar screen. I'm not even sure I knew what an athletic director was when I got into college athletics. I just knew that I loved sports and that I wanted to work in sports. And so I ended up, you know, in a career path, an undergrad and graduate degree career path, being an athletic trainer. But I always had sort of an affinity in that role for the administrative work, you know, whether it was the inventory work or the, insurance, you know, whatever that sort of behind the scenes stuff was. I always was pretty good at that. And then when I was asked to step into this role as assistant athletic director, it was, you know, my primary responsibility was game day operations. Well, as you well know, Mike, when you're an athletic trainer, you know how to run a game, from a different perspective. It may not be game ops. It may not be, you know, figuring out officials and facilities and all those kinds of things, but certainly it is something that you are aware of. And so I just had an affinity for that. And then I also had gotten involved with our big fundraising effort that we had done back in the 90s, the auction. And so, yeah, I guess it sort of fit my skill set. And so even though I'd never really thought about it, once I started, I found the career that I loved.
You, from what I understand, you grew up on a dairy farm. Talk a little bit about that and how you developed this love of sports. Did you play any sports growing up on a dairy farm? What sports are available to you?
Yes, so I am. Yes, I grew up on a dairy farm. I am the oldest of five children. My dad was a small dairy farmer in Western New York. I lived grew up 22 miles from Buffalo, New York, right in the Smelt. And small town America at its finest. So I graduated from high school in 1981. And so I was among the girls in high school that were on the early benefactor side of Title IX passing. So when I started to get into junior high school, more sports were available for girls to play. And I started, we did it all school-based. So you played three, four sports depending on what you were into. And for me, it was basketball, it was softball, and I was actually a swimmer in high school, too. In fact, a year ago, I got put into my high school Hall of Fame, and there's actually still a photograph in one of the display cases of our, 1979 championship swimming team in high school, and I was part of that. So, that was what you did. If you weren't working on the farm, you were playing sports. And so we did it all in my house. My mom was, shuttle driver for just about everything. And so that's where I grew to love sports. I thought I wanted to be a physical education teacher and a basketball coach. And so I chose a school, for undergrad, that would, provide me the opportunity to study in that area, but I also got into athletic training at the recommendation of one of my high school teachers. And so, that's how it all started. on the farm.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because we have my broadcast partner, Mike Wessels, who joins me for the Chico State broadcast. He said he grew up on a beet farm in Minnesota, sugar beets. And he says the only way I could get away from actually working on the farm was playing sports. And I'm wondering, is it the same? Did you like being on the dairy farm and working on the dairy farm, or was that your way, playing sports, of getting away from that because it wasn't necessarily something you wanted to do?
No, I loved growing up on a farm. And I think in my late 50s now, I appreciate it even more now than I did then. It was just, I look back and I think of the things that my dad used to make me do. I tell the story about, I was the oldest of five. My next sibling is 4 years younger than me. And so, I drove first. I was changing diapers when I was 10 years old, Mike. I have a brother that's 10 years younger than me. So, when you grew up on a farm, you're helping mom in the house, right? And, so I tell the story that back in the day, when I was able to drive by myself, I then became, the errand girl for the farm. And my dad would call me from the barn and say, you have to drive over 15 miles away to this, seed company and pick up this load of seed for the farm, and I would have to drive over to this place, walk into this building of strangers and say, I'm here to pick this up for my dad. And I did that a lot. And, I think back on that and I think of the skills that developed in me. I'm not afraid to walk into a crowd of strangers and, or ask for something that I don't really, understand about or whatever. My dad, I didn't realize it then, but the both the leadership skills and the courageousness, but also the ability to kind of take a risk and do what you got to do to get it done, was instilled in us when we were little. And of course, obviously the work ethic and accountability that goes along with, living on a farm. As for the sports thing, it was really our social world. We grew up I grew up in a place where your social world revolved around playing sports and going to church. That was your social life. And so it wasn't as much about getting away from doing stuff on the farm as it was a way to, besides school, it was the way to hang out with my friends and be engaged in stuff going on at school.
We're talking with Anita Barker, athletic director at Chico State, learning a little bit about Chico State's leader who has helped really lead the Wildcats over the past two decades into unprecedented Division II success, one of the best athletic programs on the West Coast. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue our discussion with Anita. You're listening to Chat with a Cat, and it's right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.
Welcome back to Chat with a Cat here on KPAY Sports 1290. We're talking with Chico State Athletic Director Anita Barker as we talk all things Chico State. Learning a little bit about Anita Barker today. She's been, of course, in charge of the Chico State Athletic Department for more than two decades, and really a tremendous amount of success that the Wildcats have experienced. You were at Ohio Northern, but what got you to Arizona? Arizona has got to be a special place in your heart. Not only did you go to school there, you met your love there and Scott, and you also were able to be part of an athletic department that was really in its heyday in terms of men's basketball.
So when I graduated from Ohio Northern, I needed to get my master's degree in athletic training to be able to work in the field. And Arizona was one of the top programs in the country. And so I applied for and got into grad school there, made my way across the country, and landed in one of the premier Division I programs in the country at the time. And it was just incredible. I started off working women's gymnastics as a graduate student. So for the first 2 years of my time at Arizona, my primary assignment was women's basketball, and I got to travel. Was women's gymnastics during my graduate degree. Got to travel all over the country with them and really learn about a sport that I really didn't know anything about. And then fast forward to 1987, and I was hired as the assistant athletic trainer to work primarily with women's basketball. And that also was a great experience for me. I got to, you know, work with the sport that I absolutely love, and again, travel all over the country and go to cool places. Played some of the premier women's basketball programs at the time, and really got exposed to the sport at that highest level. But yeah, you mentioned Arizona basketball at its heyday. You know, we being on the staff of the athletic training staff, you're just around all of the sports. And so, you know, during that time, Lute Olson was bringing it to Tucson, and Arizona basketball was becoming the phenom that it is now. Steve Kerr, Tom Tolbert, Kenny Lofton, Craig McMillan, those are guys that, you know, I knew as college students and got to watch them play. And obviously many of them have gone on to incredible, successful careers in the field. And so I always look back on the time at Arizona with fond memories. Scott and I met at Arizona. He was on staff when I got there. Our relationship started when I was a grad student, and, you know, we ended up getting married during the time that I was on staff there. And yeah, so Tucson's a pretty special place. The other thing that I was really fun for me is I was the visiting team athletic trainer for all of the football games. So when schools like UCLA and USC and Cal, when they came to town, I was actually on their sideline during football games, just being a support for, you know, being a host athletic trainer for visiting teams. But never, and every time I walked into Arizona Stadium, I got chilled. So super, super exciting time to be at Arizona, and always will think back on that time in my life with fond memories.
When I always think about the great teams that Chico State has had that I've been fortunate enough to be around, And you see sometimes they have reunions. A lot of the baseball teams and basketball teams will have reunions. And you'll see a reunion of maybe four or five players, and you'll see the athletic trainer that is with them on that reunion, because the athletic trainer is part of the team. In fact, in a lot of respects, they are there more than the athlete sometimes, because if there is a practice at, say, 8 a.m., but there is a student athlete that is injured and cannot practice but has to be there to rehab, that player has to be there at 6 a.m. And who is there with that player? The athletic trainer. They spend so much time doing that. And that's why they're universally considered part of the team.
Right. Well, and I think it's interesting. When I got asked to be the assistant athletic director in 1995, there was a lot of, you know, my own anxiety, but also other folks asking a question like, why would you put an athletic trainer in that role? And I think over time, you see more and more the pathway to athletic administration. More athletic trainers have taken the leap into administration, because we do see the other side of, you know, what goes on. You know, it's what happens in the wee hours of the morning or the late hours of the night, or, you know, you get a perspective on running an athletic department that's different than coaches. And it's really kind of that service personnel perspective, which is a very different perspective than a coach or someone who played the sport. And so, you know, in my early years, it took me some time to kind of get over that, you know, sort of lack of confidence, because I was a coach, or I wasn't a premier player in any sport. You know, I played sports, but that's where it ends. I was not a superstar by any stretch of the imagination, but I think given my experience both being at Division III as an undergrad, Division I, a grad, and now at Division II, but also being sort of one of those in the trenches kind of people, gave a unique perspective on what it would take to run the athletic program here.
What are some of the moments, I mean, in more than two decades, you've had some amazing moments watching teams succeed at a high level, or maybe it is something that student athletes have done that have made you the most proud. What are some that you can kind of pinpoint that have really made you sit back and say, I am so proud to be part of this group of student athletes because they have done this?
Wow. You know, that's a big question. You know, obviously, I think, you know, since I've been athletic director, so that started in 2002. You know, I don't get to take credit for the baseball championships in the 90s. in fact, we all know my record at the Baseball World Series isn't very good. So
I wasn't going to bring that up.
But, you know, I think that, you know, so on the athletic side, I will say some of my really exciting moments have been, you know, obviously when women's basketball made their run to the Final Four, women's soccer made their run to the Final Four. Men's soccer was the first team that I went to the national championship as athletic director. December of 2003, Virginia Beach, we played in the national championship game. I mean, it was just phenomenal. You know, and I think about watching Scotty Bowles run across the frozen finish line in Pennsylvania. And I, you know, I think about all these things and I think, man, I was a farm kid in Western New York. I never would have imagined being able to be part of some of those things. You know, and we've had some tough times. You know, we've lost a couple coaches along the way, like literally, you know, had two active coaches pass away while they were part of our program. And those are, man, talk about going from the high to the low. Those are things you just have to recover from. That's a tough time in a program. And then I think of the little moments. Like, I remember the day, Mike, I remember the day that DeMario Sims made an appointment to come and see me so that he could show me the very first contract that men's basketball got to go play a game at the University of Arizona. And he made an appointment, got on my calendar, walked in my office, and this was like in April. And he said, Anita, I want to know what you're doing on November 4th. And I'm like, what are you talking about, Mario? And he lays out this contract and he said, we want you to go with us. And I mean, so those are, and that's just, I mean, that's one of, I think about our student athletes and the way they came out during the referendum and how they had to, you know, deal with all of the things that went on with that. There's so many moments that I don't even think I could really, I could go on and on and on. It's just the culture we've tried to build since even before I was the athletic director is, and I talk about the hallway and the family culture that we have. And we, that's really what everybody embraces. And, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago, we started with, you know, the hashtag Wildcat family. And I think everyone bought into that. Our coaches have bought into it. Our student athletes understand it. Our fans get it. It's something about being in a Chico State Wildcat. And I'm just proud that I've been able to have a role in that over the last two decades. And I'm super proud of what everybody's been able to accomplish. And the last thing I'll say about that is I'm really excited and proud of the staff that we've been able to put together. I mean, you think of how many Chico State alumni are on our staff and the pride they bring to the job every day. I'm super grateful for them and for what they do to keep us rolling all the time.
It really seems that you have a keen eye for what you need in your athletic department to lead a program. I don't know if this is a surprise to you, but when a lot of us Chico State fans and those of us who can have such great affinity for all of the athletic programs, when we get together and we sit and we talk and break down all of the athletic departments over a margarita at Tres Hombres, we say Anita's decision making in terms of coaches is really unparalleled, because the coach is if you pick the wrong coach, it really can spiral a program. And you've had a really amazing ability to pick the right person at the right time for a particular spot. And I'm wondering, how is that a people reading? Do you read people a certain way? It can't be just their resume, because there are four or five, sometimes six candidates who come in that door, but you're picking the right one. And how does that happen? How do you get to that point?
Well, you know, I think luck is some of it. The allure of Chico is a lot of it. But I think what it boils down to, Mike, is, you know, I just try to be very transparent when I'm when we're interviewing folks, when they make it to that point, I really am transparent to a fault. Probably I share with them, you know, what our vision is, what our resource situation is, and what our goals are as a program. And you know, I can sum it up and tell you this story. When I was a young administrator and was responsible for searches, I would go with a head coaching candidate into a meeting with then Vice President Paul Moore. And Paul, I used to watch him masterfully talk to these folks. And one of the things he used to say is, at Chico State, we are about the student athlete experience. We are not about all wins and losses. Now, that said, if you want to have a quality student athlete experience, you got to win more than you lose on the balance, right? And so I think it's always been about the student athlete experiences first. And this is the reality of what it means to work at Chico State. And then after that is, are you the kind of personality that can put program above person? Because at the end of the day, when I walk away from this program, it's going to keep going forward. It's not going to die because Anita Barker retired or because, you know, somebody left. It's about the program. And so then it's kind of laying out that philosophy and then seeing how they react to it. And then it's a gut instinct after that. I've been lucky to pick some really good folks and to lure them back in some cases. to give them the opportunity. The other thing is we haven't been afraid to take a shot at young coaches either. And I think that's been, you know, that's been a good fit for us because then we can kind of help mentor them into the role we want them to be in.
Are there things you still want to accomplish? I mean, you've accomplished a lot in more than two decades, a lot of winning, a lot of scholastic excellence. I think one of the great attributes is I sometimes go to other CCAA schools, and there is really a focus on – there's a preponderance of the focus on men's sports. But you come to Chico State, and there is such a tremendous balance between the fervor for what – female and the women's teams do that the men's teams do. It is on equal footing, and it is the way I would imagine that you envisioned it and wanted it to be.
Yeah, and I think that actually that I credit back all the way back to when Don was athletic director and Dr. Esteban was president. You know, we had to make a decision about a conference. And we made the move to go to the CCAA. And Mike, you remember this. When we did that, we were launching our basketball programs ill-equipped into a basketball league. But we made a decision then to have, quote, all of our teams arrive at the same time. And, you know, we've been able to sustain that now for two decades, that, you know, it's about the breadth within reason of what we can do with our budget, with our facilities, with all of that. It's about breadth of the program, and no one program is more important than the other. And I think that plays out in the student athletes too. You know, you look in the stands and they're a giant pod, right? They all show up for each other. And I think we've bred that culture, and that will remain under my, you know, I want that'll stay that way under my watch. You know, I think the my big goal moving forward, I have two goals, really. One is, well, I guess the immediate goal, I would say, is emerging from this pandemic as best as we can where we left off. You know, I don't want to rebuild this program from the bottom up. So we want to be able to reemerge. And part of that is really establishing sort of this infrastructure and getting it stabilized. You know, and then sort of learning from this shutdown and assessing, you know, what can we do? You know, what were we doing before that was just something that we don't either need to do anymore or we can do more efficiently so we can free up our folks to do the bigger and greater things for our student athletes. So that's one goal is stabilizing the infrastructure so that whomever I hand this off to, whenever that happens, they've got a solid base to move forward with. The other thing is I'm excited about the master plan, the campus master plan. And I'm hoping that, you know, before I, you know, hang it up, that there will be some movement towards some new facilities, because that's really where our biggest, you know, that's where we fall short and where we fall behind is in our facilities. Obviously Nettleton Stadium's fantastic. Our soccer stadium needs some, you know, it needs a little love right now, but it's great. But boy, softball needs some love. University Stadium needs some love, and we know and love Acker, but it needs some. You know, it needs a refresh minimally, or we need something new. And then I would love to be able to say that we won a national championship under my watch. Even though I just said it's about the student athlete experience and not, you know, not always about winning. I'd love to have a national championship ring before I retire, but you know, I can live without that, but it sure would be fun.
Yeah. So. And for people that don't know out there in radio land, I've known Anita for, almost the 20 years. She is as competitive as they get. I mean, if you want someone that just, go out there, roll the ball out and let's just, have the experience. Anita's not for you. She wants the experience, but boy, as she mentioned earlier, the experience winning is a lot more fun than just going out there and getting your teeth kicked in.
A lot more fun. That's right.
Anita, thank you for joining us. This has been great. It's been wonderful just talking with you.
Thanks, Mike.
And we'll be joining all the Chico State faithful every Thursday at 3:30 here on KPAY Sports 1290. And we'll be talking with other coaches, players, fans, breaking it down. And and wading our way through the coronavirus pandemic, and hopefully we're back out on the field sooner rather than later.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Mike. Can I just say happy holidays to everybody? Wish them all a happy holiday.
You certainly can. Thanks, Anita.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That is Anita Barker joining us here on KPAY Sports 1290. And we will be talking with Chico State Sports every Thursday at 3:30 right here on KPAY Sports 1290.
This is Happy from Carl's Jr. Listen closely. Do you hear that? That's the sizzling sound of 2 1/3-pound juicy Angus beef patties stacked with 4 strips of bacon on the Monster Angus Thick Burger. You're getting hungry for the bacon. You're driving to the Angus beef. But wait, don't take your eyes off the road for the monster. When I snap my star fingers, you'll pull into the nearest Carl's Jr. and order the new Monster Angus Thick Burger. Feed your happy.
Available for limited time at participating restaurants. Price and participation may vary.